Well, congratulations are in order. My wonderful co-host on Good Dogs, Carol Borden, who is a veteran dog trainer, but also Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs is her passion and her life's work. They just won the National Vetty Award for Suicide Prevention in Washington, D.C., Vetty standing for veterans. Service veterans, not veterinarians. Carol, congratulations. Let's talk a little bit about how huge this award was, because it wasn't just about service animals. It was about all kinds of suicide prevention efforts, was it not?
Correct, Tracy. Thank you. Yes, we are so excited because one of the things that's so important to me that I work at constantly over the past 11 years is to have clarity about what exactly a service dog is and does, what we do versus other types of dogs, and thus then the respect that they certainly should have for saving lives. And so we were up against, you know, major organizations all across the country. They are all great organizations that provide all sorts of different services for our veterans. And, you know, a very big issue is veteran suicide. And we are so proud that in 11 years with hundreds and hundreds of teams working through many, many states throughout the United States, we have never had a suicide. And that's just really difficult for a lot of other organizations to have accomplished. And we do feel that it's because of the training, the thoughtfulness that the dogs have in figuring out issues and how to overcome them, interfering and redirecting people that have serious issues that might lead to suicide. And, you know, we're just thrilled that this was recognized, not just for Guardian Angels, but for the entire service dog industry. It's so important for people to understand what they do.
And I think it's also important, and I'd love to know some of the training that goes into placing an individual dog who you have purpose-bred and raised, hand-raised from puppyhood all the way up to training and then specific placement with a specific person needing a medical service dog. Now, it could be a 14-year-old diabetic child, but it's often veterans because you have a great deal of relationship with veterans. In fact, isn't some of your training veteran qualified or something? What is that part of your training that Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs, your veteran, you give courses, don't you?
We do. I, several years ago, wrote courses for my own trainers because we're always pushing for a higher level of excellence from our trainers. And this is not just like regular obedience training that we do by a long shot. So I developed these classes, which later became college accredited and also approved by the Veterans Administration under the GI Bill. And so all of our trainers go through this, as well as the apprenticeship program that we have. People can apply for the apprenticeship program, too. So we teach a very specialized way of training our dogs. I have it set up based on the mental capacity, the mental learning ability of a dog at each age. And there's different things we do that are very different than training a pet, because not only do our dogs have to learn, of course, basic commands, basic obedience, but they have to be properly desensitized, socialized, public access, advanced skills, confidence building. There's a whole lot of steps that go into each life stage. And this is something that your normal companion dog would not need, would not have to have. Also, one of the interesting things, the way we train is, you know, a lot of people, they're pushing and pulling and telling a dog, do this, do this, do this, do this. And it's like, no, wait a minute. Give the dog a chance to learn to read your body language, your tone of voice, process it, think about it, and then perform the task you asked for. And it's very interesting if you watch them process and give them an opportunity instead of continuing to repeat the command. They will figure it out. And we teach our dogs to think. It's very important that our dogs learn to think.
That's just a fantastic differentiation in the way you're explaining that. It's only recently, the last, I'll pick a number, 4 to 5 years, that studies have been done to prove what service dog breeders and trainers and placement organizations have known for a long time, that dogs figure things out. They do read your facial expression. They read your body language. They pick up odors off your body of stress, of anxiety, as well as the medical situations that you also teach them to recognize the smell of a diabetic emergency and so forth. But the idea that dogs don't need constant nagging is really a good word for it. If they're given the independence to think and to process a situation, the great ones, the great dogs, and you're probably pretty picky who you will place with a veteran suffering from PTSD or any kind of a victim of violence who may have PTSD, you probably need those more sensitive dogs who have a greater awareness of subtleties and can intervene by bumping up against the person, maybe licking their face, maybe putting their mouth even on their hand to get their attention. Are you much more picky with the dogs you choose for PTSD?
Well, actually, all of our dogs are very sensitive to people. A couple of differences in our training. We're very, very big on teaching a dog to learn to read our body language instead of having on a collar and leash. Our dogs have learned all of their basic exercises by the time they're 14 weeks old. They've never had a collar and leash on at that point.
Wow.
And so now they have learned to start paying attention to us. It's all positive reward in return. And by doing so, they become very sensitive to us. And they do learn our facial features. They do learn when someone points. Yes, they learn commands, but it's much more important for them to follow our lead through our body language. And this is part of my courses that I teach. You know, caveman didn't have a sophisticated language. He didn't have any sophisticated dog training tools. So how do you think they put relationships together? Mm-hmm. So I've kind of gone full circle, come all the way back, because we must think like a dog. We must get into their head. We must learn how to communicate on their level. And then they are so willing to perform for us. So they are sensitive automatically through learning from us and knowing what to expect. Actually, every dog is different, just like every person or child. We all have different energy levels, different learning capacities, different things. And the dogs are really no different. And so we figure out what the needs are of the individual disabled person along with his disability, if it's PTSD. Okay, is he leading a very sedentary lifestyle, or does he like to go out and hike? You know, what are his things that he likes to do? And then, of course, we pick our dogs based on all the different variables. Is this guy a really harsh-spoken person, but he really is soft inside?
Right.
Can our dog manage that tone?
Interesting.
Or is that going to break down the dog? So a lot of different things that go into our final decision, who is paired with whom.
Okay, a question about suicide prevention, and I don't mean this to sound insensitive, but I have to say my personal opinion to a couple of ads, promotion of groups that were patriot dog groups where they're not purpose-bred dogs, the ones that I saw. They're dogs that have either been the person's own dog that's gone through some kind of training with the organization, mm-hmm. the nonprofit organization, or sometimes they take them out of shelters. They don't have the years of experience and the fundamentals and the financial backing that you have from your supporters to be able to purpose breed dogs and raise them in the way you do with the amount of interaction you have with them. But in these two commercials, I call them commercials because they are sort of self-congratulatory, but maybe even to some degree a plea for a donation. They show a very depressed-looking human, who's an actor, not the actual veteran, sitting in their lap, or one I was told this as an anecdote somewhere, with a gun in their lap, as if they are going to shortly from in now shoot themselves. And this dog, who's supposed to be their service dog, comes over and takes the gun out of their lap. But I mean, is that that's not what we mean by suicide prevention, is it? It just seems so, it's not even a metaphor. It's just a kind of a, it makes it so overly dramatized to the point of being melodrama. Or is that actually something you teach a dog?
Well, I can tell you that those events have actually taken place. However, what we would like to see our dogs do and what they do most of the time is they intervene before our recipient gets to that point.
Right.
They do have different triggers. They have very bad anniversary dates of their tragedies,
yes,
of things that they experience, so on and so forth. So there are times, but what's really important to understand, people think PTSD is just an emotional problem. It is not. It is where the hippocampus and neurotransmitters of the brain have been damaged. And as a result, we have also found through research that the chemistries, the oxytocins and cortisols in the person's bloodstream change. And they are out of normal range when they are having these issues. The dogs, because their olfactory system is so highly sophisticated, we do scent samples on all of our recipients when they are having these different episodes.
Oh, I'll be darned.
They send us some scent samples. So the dogs can pick up on exactly when something is going out of bounds on their person. And so they start redirecting the person immediately. They start, alerting, directing, and we don't teach a specific alert either. We find out what the dog likes to do best.
Some of us are
left-handed and some of us are right-handed. Well, guess what? Some of them like to nudge. Some of them like to lick. Some of them like to give doggy hugs. We figure out what their alert is. They don't have to be right-handed because we said so.
Interesting.
We find out what they like to do. They give these alerts and they redirect their person before they go into a full-blown episode.
Right, before they go down the chute of complete darkness.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting? So you have prepared the person who's going to be the lucky recipient, because we want to say again, all of the Guardian Angel Medical Service dogs are free to the person receiving them. It's all
correct,
underwritten by incredible sponsorship over the years, which is pretty extraordinary in and of itself. And the person, when they're having an anxiety attack or deep depression, prepares the dog that you have chosen for them by sending a scent sample, like a t-shirt they're wearing or a rag they wipe across their face or something. And the dog
is
then...
these are actually swabs. Just
swabs.
Like you would do a DNA sample.
Wow.
Actually swabs. Yes.
And then your trainer works with that dog so that when that scent comes along to that person, because obviously we all have a different scent or odor when we're having different emotions, the dog then... You work with knowing what that dog's proclivities are to teach that dog to use its natural inclination to lick or pull or bump or jump up or whatever it may be, pull at the pant leg with your teeth even, when they smell that smell.
Correct. And we, again, reward as soon as they start reacting to it, regardless of what the reward is. So we hone in on it and we develop it. And they do very, very well with it. And it comes quite naturally. And then we just make sure it becomes a habit and they know to do it every time.
It's fabulous. So let's talk briefly, because I want to make sure that we have the exact amount of time to make sure this fits into our show. You were aware of a TV station that thought they were doing some great thing around veterans and, it's a great happy day. We're going to give you a service dog, you veteran person, right? I mean, and the dog was so inappropriate that you saw red, so to speak.
I did. You know, I was really mortified when I saw it. I know they were trying to do a really good, happy, feel-good story for the public, but they did such a disservice to the service dog industry.
Yes.
There is already so much confusion between what is an emotional service dog, an emotional support dog, a service dog, a companion animal.
Yes.
And by federal law, a service animal is defined as a dog with a set of skills that actually mitigate the challenges of someone's permanent disability. And in a rare case, where appropriate, a miniature horse. That is the legal definition. Now, in order to become a service dog, you have to learn those tasks. As we were just talking a minute ago, we also learn an awful lot about that individual. The individual has to be ready to take on the responsibility of a service dog, because while it does all of these fantastic life-saving skills, they don't feed themselves. They don't brush themselves. They don't let themselves outside to go potty.
Right.
So there are still responsibilities of that individual. So we have to make sure they're ready mentally. We work with them with orientations for them, their families, if they have families. And we have ongoing coaching for them for the life of the team. In the instance of this episode on TV this morning, they presented a fella who had no idea he was getting a dog, had not applied, and they gave him, quote unquote, a 4-month-old service dog, which was also a Belgian Malinois, which is a wonderful breed, but they are very high drive, extremely intelligent. We actually do not use them for service work because they are too high drive. But more importantly, a 4-month-old dog of any breed cannot legitimately be called a service dog because there's no
it's a
way
baby.
It has learned
it's a
all
puppy.
The necessary tasks. Exactly.
Okay, so let's just make this really clear because a little bit of time left. A Belgian Malinois, I've had many military service dog people on the show. They're used for police work and for military work. They are not a pet. Mm-hmm. Nobody in their right mind would ever place any Belgian Malinois in any family. A friend of mine and her husband, who'd had multiple dogs, got one. And when the dog turned 6 months old while playing with the man, he shredded the man's arm. It was in his nature. Ugh. He misunderstood what was going on. The point is,
they're extremely high drive.
They look a little like a German Shepherd dog, but they're really not. And it's just really important to understand that you can't just take any dog, and certainly not a dog who's completely mispurposed, and try to make a kind of like a headline grabbing moment out of it. Carol, we've run out of time, but I just want to say that Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs has won this National Vetty Award for suicide prevention. Is so great, so fabulous, so well-deserved. And I hope everybody after this show understands a little bit more about what goes into what you do. I admire you so much. And each of your dogs, I give them a giant kiss.
Thank you.